this morning to turn to the book of 1 John. Book of 1 John. I'd like to look at some verses in chapter 3 and also in chapter 4. Reading these verses, you'll know the theme of or the subject of the message this morning. In 1 John 3, in verse 1, we read, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Verse 16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Chapter 4, we'd like to read verses 9 through verse 11. "And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Verse 19, "We love him because he loved us." In each of these verses, we see that John writes of God's love. In 1 John 3 and verse 1, we read, "The love the Father hath bestowed upon us." In verse 16 of chapter 3, we read, "The love of God." Verse 9 of chapter 4, we read, "The love of God toward us." Chapter 4 and verse 10, "He loved us." Chapter 4 and verse 11, "God so loved us." Verse 16, "The love that God hath to us." And in verse 19, "He first loved us." John was a man who had a realization and had an assurance of the Lord's love for him. In fact, in the Gospel of John, he never refers to himself by his given name, John. But the times that he does refer to himself, he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Five times in the book of John, he simply refers to himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved. And from reading these verses that we just read, we can see that John had an understanding of the doctrine of God's love. But he had more than just an understanding of the doctrine. It was more, the love of God was more than just a doctrinal teaching to John. It was something that he fully believed. It was something that he was confident about. He knew that the Lord loved him. He was confident of that. He was sure of that. The Lord loves me. John knew that, and he lived in the reality of that. He was deeply convinced of God's love for him. He was absolutely persuaded of God's love for him. And the fact that the Lord loved him was an everyday reality in his life. And no doubt he felt the love of the Lord. It wasn't just something that he knew of. He actually felt the love of the Lord. He felt the power of the Lord's love. He felt the tenderness of the Lord's love. He felt the compassion of the Lord's love. He went through his life from the day that he was saved feeling and knowing that God loved him. That's a wonderful way to live life. And I believe that this was something that overwhelmed John. This was something that filled him with wonder and filled him with astonishment that the Lord loved him. Again, in the book of Romans, "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated."
And as we've said many times, people get all upset, get all bent out of shape about Esau, but hate it. But if you knew anything about yourself, and if you knew anything about God, you wouldn't have any problem with Esau, but hate it. The thing that would fill you with amazement is Jacob have I loved. It's an amazing thing that God would love anybody. It's an amazing thing that God would love you and I. So John lived his life in the wonder of the fact that God loved him. And by the time we get to the book of 1 John, John no doubt was advanced in years by this time, and he's still living in the wonder of that fact that the Lord loved him. He would later write in Revelation 1 in verse 5, as an exile on the island of Patmos, he wrote unto him that loved us. Now he's an elderly man. He's in exile, and he's still living in the wonder of that fact. He loved me. He loved us. So this seemed to be the mindset of John. He loves me. And he was a man that lived in the wonder of that wonderful fact that the Lord loved him. And that's a great way to live our lives. It's a way that will make a difference in the way that we live our lives. To just know and to live every day knowing and with the assurance and just thinking upon it, the Lord loves me. That'll make a difference in the way you live. So we want to speak this morning on the subject of living in the wonder of His love. Because I'm afraid that many of us who are saved, more often than not, we go through this life unaware of God's love for us. We go through this life unconscious and unmindful of God's love for us. And we go through this life insensible of the fact that God loves me. So we want to look this morning and what it means to live in the wonder of His love. To live in the wonder of His love, first of all, is to realize that this love that we're talking about is no ordinary love. 1 John 3 and verse 1 opens with, behold. That is a word that introduces something extraordinary. That is a word that introduces something that is momentous. To be loved by someone is not uncommon. It's not uncommon to be loved by your parents. It's not uncommon, well, it might be. It's not uncommon to be loved by a spouse. That's being more and more questionable today. But it shouldn't be an uncommon thing. It's not uncommon to be loved by children, your children. It's not uncommon to be loved by your friends. All these things are very, very commonplace. But the love of God is not an ordinary love. Don't ever compare the love of God to something. There's nothing to compare it to. And you do a disservice to the love of God. It is a love that is out of this world. Paul wrote in Ephesians 3 and verse 19, he said, it is a love which passeth understanding. That is, it's really beyond human comprehension. We understand some things about it, but we cannot fully comprehend this fact that God loves me. This fact that God would love a filthy sinner. We cannot fully comprehend that, and we certainly cannot fully describe what that means. And though Paul in Ephesians 3 verses 17 and 18, he spoke of the width and the length and the depth and the height of His love, yet truly His love is immeasurable. You can't measure the love of the Lord. So the love of God is absolutely unique. It is a one-of-a-kind love. It is absolutely unparalleled. It is incomparable. It is a love of superlative excellence. It is a particular love. It is a selective love. In other words, he loves me and he chose to do so. That's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling that God loves me. It's even more mind-boggling that God chose to love me. This love of God is eternal. It's without beginning. There's no time that he began to love us. It's without beginning. And it is without end. It is a love that of necessity must be unconditional. In other words, there is absolutely no cause for God's love outside of himself. In 1 John 4 and verse 19, one of the verses that we read, we read, "We love him because," and then the following word after "because" is "he." We love him because he. We love him because of who he is. We love him because of something that he did. But it can never be said that God loves us because, and then followed by us. It can never be said. He loves us because of himself. So this is an unconditional love. There is absolutely nothing in us that would cause God to love us. There is absolutely nothing in us to merit God's love. There is absolutely nothing in us to motivate God to love us. There is nothing in us that would attract the love of God. Nothing. There is absolutely nothing in us that would attract the love of God. He loves us simply because he chose to do so. It is a love that is infinite. It is a love that is invincible. I'm blessed, and most of us here are. We are blessed because I have parents that love me. I have a spouse that loves me. I have children that love me. I have friends that love me. That is a blessing. But there is nothing that can compare to this. He, God Almighty, loves me. There's nothing that can compare to this love. This is no ordinary love. So to live in the wonder of God is first of all to realize this is no common love. This is no ordinary love. Secondly, to live in the wonder of his love is to be cognizant of his love. It's to be aware of this love. 1 John 3 and verse 16, we see that this love of God can be perceived. It's something that can be perceived. In other words, it is something that we can have an awareness of. It is something that we can realize. It is something that we can appreciate. 1 John 3 and verse 1 again says, "Behold, what manner." And that word manner, he's talking about the nature of God's love. He's talking about the quality of God's love. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." There is a call there. There is a call to ponder the love of God. To ponder the fact that God loves you. Ponder that fact. Consider it. Give serious and much thought to that fact. God loves you. Meditate upon it. Meditate upon the fact of God's great love. The fact of God's love is amazing. The child of God, many times again, is unaware, is unmindful, is insensible to the fact that God has not only loved me, but God has bestowed. He has given his love sumptuously. He's given his love generously. He's given his love extravagantly. He has lavished it upon me. And yet many times we live unaware of the love that the Father hath bestowed upon us. This isn't the love of God, the fact that God loves me. This isn't something that we just imagine. This isn't something that we just suppose. This is actual. This is real. This is manifest. God loves me. And we're to live in the reality of that love. Again, in chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, "The love of the Father hath bestowed upon us." Verse 9 of chapter 4, "The love of God toward us." Verse 10 of chapter 4, "He loved us." Verse 11 of chapter 4, "God so loved us." In verse 16, we see the love that God hath to us. In verse 19, "He first loved us." In each of those verses, you have God and you have us. God and us. God loved us. This is what makes God's love so amazing. First of all, it's his love. So therefore, it's as great as he is. But then that he would love us manifests and magnifies the love of God. So in all of these, we see God. In all of these, we see us. Now think about that. There is God. God is infinitely holy. He cannot stand the sight of that which is impure. He cannot stand the sight of sin. He's holy. You need to get a hold of the fact that God is holy. We're not talking about the God that people have invented in their minds. We're talking about a holy and pure God. He loved us. You're anything but holy. God, the one whom the heavens cannot contain, the one who is all sufficient and needs nothing of you and I. He whose glory is the absolute astonishment of the most glorious beings that there are. His glory is the astonishment of the angels. He loves us. He who is the maker of heaven and earth. He who is almighty. He who is all in all. He's everything. He's higher than all things. He's superior to all things. He's over all. He loves us. He loves us who were guilty and who had risen up against him as an enemy. God loves us. We were his enemy. And yet, he loved us. We who are depraved, totally depraved, degenerate, deceitful, unrighteous, wicked, filthy, and vile. And yet this holy God loves us. That's an amazing thing. That's a thing of great wonder. He loved us when we were estranged from him. We get cold. We get indifferent toward God. We question God. We question the motives of God. And yet God keeps loving us. We're filled with ourself. We're filled with self-seeking. We're filled with self-indulgence. We're filled with self-importance. And yet this God loves you and I. He loves us. He loved us when we were unclean. He loved us when we were under the power and under the dominion and under the pollution of sin. Again, this is no ordinary love. There's nothing ordinary about it. There's nothing common about it. And I am the object of this love, and I am the recipient of this love. And it is a love that caused him to give me the gift of his son. Notice in verses 9 through 11, or verse 9 and 10 of chapter 4. And this was manifested. And the love of God is a love that is manifested. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might have life through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You see, I was dead in sin, but God loved me so much that he gave me the gift of his Son. And wrapped up in the gift of his Son is life. Is life for dead sinners. I was guilty, but God loved me so much that he gave me the gift of his Son. And in that gift of his Son is innocence. I can have innocence restored. I was unrighteous, but in the gift of his Son is the righteousness that I need. And to keep in mind, the gift of his Son is all because he loved us. I was alienated. I was estranged from God. But God loved me so much that he gave me his Son. And within that gift of his Son is the way to God. Is the way to God. If you're here today and lost, you are estranged from God. But there is a way back to God. But there is only one way. And that is Jesus Christ. And that is the gift that he has given us. I was lost in sin. I was in bondage. But in the gift of his Son is the gift of a Savior. All because he loved me. I was under the curse. But in the gift of his Son, there is blessing. There is blessing upon blessing. Because he loves me, I have passed from death unto life. I have not passed from death unto life because one day I said a prayer. I have passed from death unto life because God loved me, and he loved me so much that he worked a miracle. And I passed from death unto life. It all goes back to the love of God. Oh, when I was 9 years old, mom told me about the Lord, or dad told me about the Lord. I passed from death unto life because he loved me. That's the reason. That's the only reason. It's simply because he loved me. Because he loves me, my sins have been put under the blood of Jesus Christ. Because he loves me, my name has been written down in the Lamb's book of life. Because he loves me, I have been redeemed. I have been delivered from death. I have been delivered from the power of darkness. I've been delivered from what I deserve. I've been delivered from the wrath to come. All because he loves me. It all goes back to his love for me. This is no ordinary love. This is not a common love. Because he loves me, I am a child of God. Because he loves me, I have peace with God, and I have a rest for my soul. Because he loves me, he is my strength. Because he loves me, he provides everything that I need, and all my needs are supplied in Jesus Christ. Because he loves me, I am kept by the power of God. Because he loves me, I have a building eternal in the heavens, and am more than a conqueror through him that loved us. All of this is because he loves me. Because he loves me, I have victory. Because he loves me, there is a resurrection that is drawing nigh for me. It's all because he loves me. But the question is, do we live in the wonder of his love? Do we live in the wonder of his love? We sang the song this morning, The Love of God. Brother Larry and I didn't talk before the message. But we sang that song. And the chorus goes, oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. The love of God. That ought to be our song. That ought to be our song even now. We shouldn't have to wait to heaven to sing about the love of God. We shouldn't have to wait to heaven to live in the reality of the love of God. It's something that we ought to be doing right now. To live in the wonder of God's love means that it has a working influence upon me. When somebody loves you, and you know that they love you, that works on you. That has an influence upon you. When you know that mom and dad love you, that has an influence upon you. When you know that grandparents love you, that has an influence. It works within you. When you know that your spouse loves you, when you know that your children love you, when you know that friends love you, there's a working influence in our lives. And when we know that God loves us, when that love is real, when we can see it, when we can feel it, and when we live in the awareness, the constant awareness of his love, that has a working influence upon our lives. And we've seen that John is a man who lived in the wonder of God's love. And he says here in 1 John 3:1, behold. That word behold is a word of exclamation. It means that John is excited. He's thrilled about something. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. The thought of God's love thrilled him. The thought of God's love for him filled him with joy. It filled him with excitement. I mean, no matter what happens, no matter how bad things get, nothing changes this fact. He loves me. God loves me. And that's something that we should be excited about. It's something that's euphoric. It ought to lift us above the world. It's something that ought to fill us with exultation. It ought to fill us with jubilation. It ought to fill us with gratitude that we cannot contain. He loves me. He loves me. When was the last time you just thanked God for loving you? Thank you, Lord, for loving me. I mean, that's something to be thankful for. Just the fact that he loved me. And he chose to do so. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. There was an overwhelming sense of amazement. There was an overwhelming sense of awe. This is the working influence of this love. And no doubt there was an overwhelming influence of humility as well. How can it not humble you? To know that God loves you and you do not deserve it. You cannot ever earn God's love. You can't earn it. You can't merit it. You can never deserve it. We're always undeserving. Again, people today, well, why do bad things happen? Why don't people ever ask, why do good things happen? Why does God allow bad things to happen? You know why people ask that question? Because they have an elevated opinion of humanity. The question we need to ask is, why doesn't God kill us? Why doesn't God crush us? That's the amazing thing. The amazing thing is not bad things are happening. The amazing thing is that God has not killed us and has not consumed us in eternity. This ought to humble us, the love of God. But also, we see, we love 1 John 4 and verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. A realization and an assurance of God's love will cause you and I to love Him. It will make Him the love of your life. If you live in the reality of God loves me, you live in the reality of that, you get a hold of that, or it gets a hold of you, you can't help but love God. And you can't help the fact that He becomes the love of your life. The truth is, the more I'm aware of the fact that God loves me, the more that I will love Him. The more I know of His love, the more I will love Him. The more real His love is to me, the more I will love Him. He loves me. He loves me. How can I not love Him in return? How can you not love Him in return? How can you breathe His air and not give thanks? How can you receive of His bounty and not even think upon God? Just like the hog under the acorn tree, just eats acorns all day long, never once looks up and considers where those acorns are coming from. God's people are a lot like that. Humanity is a lot like that. How can we not give thanks when God awakes us every morning and gives us the gift of life? We ought to be thankful. How can we not? How can we not love God? How can I not desire and long for fellowship with Him? He loves me, and I do not deserve His love. How can I not want to be near to Him? How can I not want to talk to Him? How can I not want to receive from Him? How can I not be sensitive to His voice? God loves me. I do not deserve His love. I have blessing upon blessing because He loves me. How can I not be sensitive to His voice, to His leadings? How dare I harden my heart against God? How dare I shake a finger at God? How dare I accuse God of being unfair? He loves me. How can we not be sensitive to His love? How can we not love His Word? He loves us. He loves us. There are people who cherish letters from children and letters from spouses more than they do a letter from God. And there's nothing wrong with cherishing letters, but don't cherish it above the Word of God. How can we not love His Word? How can we not want to read His Word? He loves me. How can I not love His day? God has set aside one day of the week, one day. And He says, this day is to be for me. You put all worldly things to the side. And this one day is to be for me. He loves me. How can I not give Him one day? I'm not talking about an hour here. I'm talking about the day. How can I not give Him? How can I not love His day? How can I give Him a day? He loves me. How can I not be interested in His laws, in what He says to do, and what He says not to do? How can I not love his people? And as you read 1 John chapter 4, this is John's whole point. If you know that God loves you and you love God, then the natural result of that is you love his people. You can't help yourself. You just love the people of God. You love to be with them. You realize they're not perfect. You realize that they have faults, they have flaws, but you love to be with the people of God. How can we not? Considering that he loves me. How can I not think upon him? He loves me. How can I not think upon God? How can I go through a day and not even give God a consideration? Not even give God a thought? How can I not obey him? He loves me. I ought to want to obey him. I ought to want to please him. I ought to want to glorify him. He loves me. And you know how far God had to stoop to love you and I? How can I not be willing? How can I be willing to stoop to the lowest office, to the lowest position for him? How can I not surrender and give myself entirely to him? He loves me. How can I not give him the preeminence? How can anything come before God? Well, I don't want to offend my relatives. I'd much rather offend my relatives than God. Much rather. How can we choose to offend God? He loves us. This is no ordinary love. He loves us. He loves us more than mom and dad loves us. He loves us more than our spouse loves us. He loves us more than our children, more than our friends love us. How can we not give him the preeminence? How can we choose anybody or anything over the Lord? These are questions that we need to examine. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. I ought to live in the wonder of that fact. It's something that ought to never, ever escape my mind. I ought to start each day realizing God loves me. God loves me. I ought to go through each day knowing God loves me. And I ought to lay down at night knowing God loves me. Live in the wonder of God's love. In every circumstance, in every trial, in every difficulty, in every storm, in everything that you do not understand, understand this. He loves me. He loves me. So what does it really matter? If I understand why. If I understand, why does it matter? If I understand why such and such happens. I need to just understand this. He loves me. And whatever happens, he does for my own good, my own benefit. In every burden, realize God's love. In every blessing, realize God's love. And at the end of the day, lay down at night, lay your head upon the pillow, and know God loves me. He loves me. Do you live in the wonder of God's love today? Do you go through the day giving that some thought? He loves me. God loves me. Don't be oblivious to the love and to the goodness, to the mercy, to the grace and the long-suffering of a loving God. But live aware God loves me. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song.